Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. Or Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with Sunbury Motors Guaranteed. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. And time now, let's see here, to bring in the outstanding Neil Coulong. My good friend, welcome back.
It's great to be here as always. Thanks for having me.
All right. Arthur Smith goes from the Falcons, now is the offensive coordinator for the Steelers. Your thoughts on that move?
The guy that I wanted them to hire, I didn't think that it would work out. The Steelers have something of a pattern of chaos when it comes to coordinators anyway, but we've seen the outside hire be somebody with a very similar resume to Arthur Smith, and by that, of course, I mean Todd Haley, somebody who amazingly turned around in popularity over the last 2 years in Pittsburgh. Smith has the bona fides in the NFL of coordinating pretty strong offense. And the thing that I hung my hat on this offseason in suggesting it wasn't long into the offseason when Smith got fired. It was more of whatever it is that happened in Atlanta, to make the argument that some guys just are coordinators. They're not head coaches. They're completely different jobs. People think that, you know, the head coach automatically means he's the best at everything that he's doing. That's not how leadership works. That's not how management works. Arthur Smith, when he was in charge of the offense in Tennessee, he had, in my opinion anyway, up to the point that he took over, a mediocre quarterback. The skill position players weren't great, but innovation, discipline, and just toughness made them into a top 10 offense in the time that he was there. The trademark, in my mind, beyond obviously what Derrick Henry is able to produce, is the versatility of the tight end. That was something that was really on the rise in the NFL. Smith really embraced it, got a ton of run out of Jonnu Smith. Nobody knew who Jonnu Smith was. All of these things suggest a modern offense that leans heavily into the kinds of things that, one, we have seen the Steelers do recently, as far as really committing to the run game. Those kinds of things were prominent in Smith's offense. And two, the things that we would hope that they're trying to do, largely accentuated by the fact that they've spent a second, a third, and a sixth on tight ends in the last 3 years. They're looking to build versatility at that position and make it more of a weapon. I don't know how much run they really got out of their tight ends last season, but let's be honest, their offense was a complete disaster. Smith has good experience and proven success working with the kinds of things that the Steelers can boast as strengths, except they've got an explosive element at wide receiver to go along with it. Now, is this really all that different from those Tennessee teams? I mean, you know, we're not going to compare it down to every blade of grass on the field, but you've got a middling quarterback. I'm sorry, that's just what, whoever it is, that's what their option is going to be, a quarterback.
You got that right.
They've got a running back that might not be Derrick Henry, but who is. He can be a successful NFL back. In fact, he's got two of them. They have an offensive line that they've added to and are going to have to add to again this offseason. It's the right fit, in my opinion, and it's not surprising to me that that's who they were going to go with, outside of the fact that I didn't think the Steelers would want to hire him necessarily. But I think schematically, for where the roster is today, for what the Steelers typically want to do, how they want to play the game, Smith makes a ton of sense. And the reaction to this, from what I'm seeing so far, is it's insanely negative, and I don't really understand why. You added another head coach, you know, somebody with that experience. Most head coaches are failures, just to point out. But being in that chair and understanding every element of a team and how a staff works, adding that experience to everybody else is only going to be beneficial for you. It's the hire they needed to make, in my opinion, and it's the right one.
Now, can coaches foul up something? Yes. But unfortunately, in a world where coaching, scheme, things like that are fancy words used at the party to make everybody make you think that you know what you're talking about, the bottom line is personnel. Does he have the ability to look at his personnel and say, this is what they can do and what they can't do? And the part that fans can accept that make the criticisms is they don't understand there are certain guys that can't do things. Right? They think everybody can do everything. They can't.
Yeah, they don't seem to like overall that you're not able, able to put Patrick Mahomes under center.
Yeah.
And you're not able to have Kyle Shanahan scheme up what we thought was a fairly mediocre profile within a quarterback and make him a conference champion. I understand all of that. I'm certainly not going to suggest that that's the kind of impact that Arthur Smith can have, but at the same time, you're looking at the polar opposite of what they were trying to do with Matt Canada, and this goes in a direction that carries with it the credibility of somebody who's done this before. There's no way, Najee Harris is a smart guy, there's no way Najee Harris is not looking at this and saying, I can work with a guy like this. He gets what I do. This is good for me. And I think as, you know, largely a prominent member of the team, if not a backbone of the team, the Steelers' offensive line, as well as the running back, should be very excited about this. Now, what does that tell you? It may come as a surprise, but the Pittsburgh Steelers, as an organization, really want to run the football. Now, we spend another show talking about whether that's a great idea or not. What I know is I just watched two conference championship games that if either losing team was more successful or more willing to run the ball, I think perhaps they would have flipped the results.
Yep.
To run the ball, you can't just completely ignore the run unless you want to give up, unless you want to score 10 points at home in a conference championship game. You have to be able to run the football, and that's not just simply hand the ball off and let your running back go do what he does. You know, I remember Barry Sanders too. Everybody in my generation can see Barry Sanders making hay out of absolutely nothing on the field. Barry Sanders doesn't exist. Okay, he's not even human. He's not in the NFL. He's not Najee Harris. All due respect to Najee Harris. You have to have a scheme that works. And to have that scheme, you have to teach, you have to communicate, and you have to drill. Those are three things that Smith did clearly in Tennessee. Now, he had horses on his offensive line. I don't think that can be taken away. We can bring up Mike Munchak if we need to go there as well. But the reality is they have the desire to build a team in a way that I think looks very similar to what Tennessee did. In fact, I said that at the time a couple years ago. Arthur Smith seems like he came from Pittsburgh. This is very much how the Steelers would want to play football in the modern day. They don't have Ben Roethlisberger. They're not going to turn Kenny Pickett into a top five level quarterback. It's not going to happen. What they need to do is utilize everybody on the team and get the most that they can out of their skill position players, along with rebuilding again an offensive line that can sustain drives play in and play out. And I think Smith is the kind of guy that has the experience to do exactly that. They're not going to win pretty. They're not going to be a team that scores 40 points a game, but they can be extremely difficult to defend, and you got to bring your big boy pants every time you play them. And that's really what this is about. I think the Steelers want to reinforce a tough mentality and the ability to run the ball at their own will on whoever it is that they're playing.
Because I'll give you an example. Philadelphia is a great example. Jonathan Gannon was blistered in Philadelphia in his time there. yet when you now look in retrospect, it was a team that had 70 sacks a year ago. And he understood, if I didn't get pressure on the quarterback and get hurries and sacks, my back seven is not good. He understood that. You got to give him credit. He knew his personnel. This year, the Eagles had 43 sacks. Oh, and by the way, the back seven, which Jonathan Gannon suspected was not great, it turns out they're not great. I mean, again, it's what can you do with your personnel? And he said, look, heck with it. I'm going to put as much pressure on people as possible. And, of course, the fans in Philly, it wasn't, you know, he got blistered for it. Because when they played Kansas City, guess what they didn't do? Get any sacks. He's got a personnel issue in the back. He had a personnel issue in the back seven, and he knew it, and he schemed around it and never got credit for it.
Nope. And, it's funny you bring this up. It's January of 2024. I'd say I've got 6 year long with somebody who will forget today more football than I'll ever know in regards to personnel versus scheme. He's very much a scheme person, and I get that. You can't get past that. But when the rubber meets the road, fourth and goal, game on the line, it's not your scheme. It's your guys. And that those kinds of situations, maybe not literally as dramatic as that, but those kinds of situations decide football games. The other stuff, you can scheme up and win. Don't win. This is very Belichickian of me to say, but if you don't win those 10 plays in a game, you're going to lose, even if you win the other 50. That comes down to special teams. It comes down to your offensive and defensive line. All of it boils down to coaching. The guys on the field, though, that have to execute whatever it is that you're giving them to do. So the marriage of the two has to be harmonious, and it has to produce overall results. And a lot of times it's, you have to, you know, kind of eschew the old school mentality of, well, we do what we do, come out and stop it. No,
right.
You have to you have to set up what you're doing based on what the other team is doing as well. You know, that's kind of basic strategy. You don't want to just do one thing. They'll figure that out. And I think the generation that includes excellent coaches like Jonathan Gannon are aware of that. They have to kind of flip things up. And to parlay that into the AFC Championship game, it's unfortunate for Lamar Jackson. I know how badly everybody felt for him and how the game was really only about him and really more of an anti-Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce type of thing.
Sure.
What's getting lost in this is Kansas City threw a gem defensively.
Yes, they did.
They completely shut that team down. Completely shut them down. It takes a lot out of the NFL today, and frankly, if it wasn't for a play of the career by L'Jarius Sneed, that game's a lot more competitive. So you can't stop them completely for four quarters. It takes more than just scheme to be able to do that. You got to have the dudes out there ready to make the big plays of the game, and that was Sneed. I don't know why that's not being talked about enough. We only want to discuss Zay Flowers fumbling the ball. Did you see the play Sneed made to knock that loose?
Sneed
makes the last second he could have done it, too.
Sneed makes a phenomenal play. Here is my criticism of Zay Flowers. You can tell the guys that have never in their life played in a big game. And with all due respect to Boston College, he didn't play in any big games. So what does he do? He taunts a guy and gets a penalty when they have the ball at the 7 yard line. Over here in the back, okay, you're behind. Okay, this is not the preseason game with Atlanta, Zay. Okay, get back and play. You're behind, and then you never reach the ball out at the goal line unless it's the last play of the half, the last play of the game, or fourth down. And it's like no matter how much it was drummed into him, he didn't think about it.
With one hand, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's he's got it squeezed and he's diving away from the tackler to the pylon.
Sneed makes a fundamentally a great effort play. It's not just a good play, it's a great play. But he did it against a guy who checked his fundamentals in at the door and how to play the game at the door in the biggest game of his life, and hopefully he'll learn from it because he is a talented player.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate for him, and sometimes guys make better plays than you do, and obviously he's doing it. I mean, the taunting thing aside, that's oh my God,
that's the immaturity.
I don't know how.
It's immature.
He could have gotten flagged twice for that.
That's right.
What are you doing?
I know.
You can't do that.
A, you're losing. Okay. A, you're losing, and B, you need to, like, let's get going here, okay? We just made a big play. Keep going here. Now we're point blank. We got a chance to get them now. And instead, you had to do that. You're not playing a preseason game in Tampa.
Pro Bowl. There's absolutely no excuse for that. To say nothing of the fact that it was a broken play. You didn't even do anything.
That's right.
It's a big play for your team. I talked to somebody else after the game. I thought he made a really good point. What happened to the time where you're celebrating with your teammates, you're talking to your teammates? Everybody contributed in some way. And I'm not the type that says, you know, you got to be Barry Sanders and flip the ball back to the official. It's an emotional game. Be emotional. I don't have a problem with the first down celebrations and things
like that. But same here.
You go out of your way after that play to shove your opponent back to the ground.
Yep.
Which only blocked him from spinning the ball, which is what you really wanted to do, and then get in his face and talk about it. You are begging the officials to throw a flag. There's no way they couldn't throw a flag in that situation.
That's right.
And for what? It's just stupid. It makes you look bad, and now you have to make up for it. So you do something even dumber, which, you know, excellent point that needs to be said on every level of football. Do not dive for the goal line with the ball. You can't do that. Because things like this can happen. And that is what the defender is taught to do in that situation. All else fails, you're going for the ball. You're not going to tackle him if his momentum is going forward and you're off to the side. You're not stopping him. Go for the ball. Because if it goes out of the end zone, it's your ball. Or it just, you know, lands right where you need it to land and you've got it. A nightmare situation caused by them. But the overarching point here is the players make or don't make the play.
Scheme
is important because you need to know how to put the guys that you have in the best position to succeed as possible. If you think it's all you, you're Josh McDaniels. Failed horrendously two head coaching stints because he felt, I can call an offense, doesn't matter if Tom Brady's the quarterback or not. The stuff that he was having Derek Carr do in Las Vegas, it was absolutely ridiculous.
That's right.
That's the reason he got fired more than anything else. Your scheme cannot come above who you have on the team. Would you draw up things differently if your quarterback was Peyton Manning versus Kenny Pickett? I sincerely hope so. You can't just say, this worked with Peyton Manning, therefore it's going to work with everybody else. Thank you, Adam Gase. You know, look at his career. Whatever happened to that? You have to be able to mold what you have. And getting back to Smith, that's the key thing. Analyze what you have right now. Give your recommendations. Give, you know, your suggestions, things that you want to add, to be added to the team, because we want to do this and that and the other thing. That's all good, but you have to draw it up based on what's there. He doesn't walk around with a magic playbook of all these things that he's going to do. They rewrite the whole thing. It's based on the personnel that they have and what they want to do, and they have to start teaching on that immediately.
The key for Arthur Smith is going to be, what is Kenny Pickett capable of, and what are areas that Kenny Pickett struggles at? And he's going to have to eliminate the part that he struggles at, and he's going to have to somehow accentuate what he's good at, and that's going to be his biggest job, I think, going in. Because his quarterback has limitations, but also does a couple things pretty well.
I think that's exactly why Arthur Smith got the job.
Yep.
It's exactly what he did in Tennessee. Now, I get that it didn't work out so well in Atlanta, but let's be honest here. Marcus Mariota, Ritter are probably worse than Kenny Pickett. Okay? It's not a good team. They competed a little bit. Like, he failed as a head coach. I would argue Nick LeBeau is the best defensive coordinator in Steelers history. The failure as a head coach. Got a lot better in Cincinnati. The team didn't. team was the same. he got a better defense. Everything else fell apart. Todd Haley, at least in recent years, is the best offensive coordinator that the Steelers have had. He's the offensive coordinator that led to the highest points per game average in team history. He was a failure as a head coach. Kansas City's offense wasn't even very good when he was there. He got fired in the middle of the year. He came to Pittsburgh. He would even openly say, I don't really want to be a head coach. I don't think that's the job for me. I want to call plays. I just want to focus on the offense. I don't want to worry about everything else that's going on. So you can't compare Atlanta's offense as part of the reason why Arthur Smith is a terrible candidate for this job. You have to look at when he was an offensive coordinator. And I can't stress this enough. The similarities between the way he called things in Tennessee to what the personnel is like in Pittsburgh make it a perfect fit in my mind. I don't think it's going to take too long to see what that influence is, to say nothing of the fact that you have a guy that has called plays in the NFL before with success, with failure. He's been in the hot seat before. He's got all of that going in. I'm going to respect that because he can make players better. You know, I'm going to focus a ton on Najee Harris, and I shouldn't, but this guy coached Derrick Henry over some of the best years of his career. He's a Hall of Fame player.
Yep.
Good coach to have on your side. Pat Freiermuth, Washington, Connor Hayward, look at what they did with tight ends in doses.
Yep.
The versatility of all of them. He got a lot of those guys paid, okay, because the value that they had in Tennessee looked to be translated elsewhere. And, you know, they paid Jonnu Smith, but the other guys they didn't pay. They went elsewhere and got more money. That's what Freiermuth should be looking at right now. He can be a three-down tight end. He can be that type of player.
Yeah.
Washington needs to build and continue to grow. I think they drafted him knowing that, but it's a new day for him. Hayward is probably the best example of it because he's the most versatile out of all of them. You've improved three of your players that played significant snaps last year. They could actually run 12 personnel and look like they know what they're doing. They might line up correctly. How about that? How many times did that fail to happen last year? Six? Like 10 the year before that?
Right.
They're going to get a much stronger level of discipline, I think, than what they had in the past. And I can't stress enough, he is an excellent hire for what they are today and for what they continue to want to be as a franchise.
Always great, fun conversation. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong joining us on the show today. You and I haven't had a conversation like that, Todd, with the suit since we talked to the suit. I mean, no.
What a deep dive on his coaching.
I mean, well, let me think if I've had a in-depth conversation with the suit. No, I take that back. Just kidding. Our guy, the suit. Now, when are you going to go to another game where he's at?
I don't know. They're only doing two more.
And you should go.
One's out at Bellefonte. I'm definitely not going to that one.
Well, that's a slap to the fine people of Bellefonte right there.
That's also an hour drive for me.
That's true. Boy, the suit in Bellefonte at the county seat. I wonder if they know who he is.
Yeah. We'll find out if he makes it out of the county seat.
Or any seat. Just kidding.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yep, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Great, great new inventory. All with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee because they go over every vehicle. And a great service department. That goes out and they go over every vehicle. And their service department can handle routine, difficult, everything. All at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. All right. So, interesting segments today with Nate and Neil. Do we throw Matt in there, too? I mean,
it was interesting. It was a different kind of interesting.
Yeah, but it kind of felt like we were in the International Space Station never landing. All right. No? Felt like he had this revelation when I told him that like the Eagles have like a personnel problem. It's not just scheme. Like, well, you're probably right about that. Like, okay. Yeah. Suddenly, I mean, you can take good personnel and put them in a bad scheme and you have problems. Okay.
Josh Sweat in pass coverage a couple times.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to do with it. If you're running a zone blitz, like for example, Penn State would run zone blitz and they drop Adisa Isaac into coverage. Adisa Isaac was really good in coverage for a defensive end. I mean, I can't think of too many times where he was a liability. He was exponentially more of an asset. So if you have people that can do that, the idea of a zone blitz is to confuse people as to where you're going with it. So I'm not worried if Josh Sweat is dropping into coverage as long as you have somebody that's capable of blitzing it that fouls them up. I can drop Adisa Isaac into coverage because I'm blitzing Abdul Carter. Right? So it depends on who the personnel happens to be. And that's a big part of it. When the Eagles were getting sacks, 70 of them last year, it masked a back seven problem. Bradbury's great, Slay's great. I'm suddenly going, Slay's not that great, and Blankenship's not that great, and I'm like, your linebackers aren't that great. And people, of course, thought it was insane, but in the end, the pass rush masked their problems. Well, this year they went from 70 to 43. That's two fewer sacks per game, which probably means they had fewer hurries per game as well. And guess what? The back seven problem became unmasked, and teams were scoring at an incredible clip against them this year. And it's not always scheme. A lot of times it has to do with the personnel. Can you look? Steve Spagnuolo does a great job with Kansas City, but he has the personnel to scheme up with. And that always makes a difference. When Bill Belichick was with the Giants, he was scheming up with Carl Banks, Leonard Marshall, Jim Burt, Harry Carson, and Lawrence Taylor. Man, does that help. Terry Kinnard. I mean, it helps. I mean, every coach will tell you that they can have all the greatest ideas in the world, and if you know the personnel that can pull it off, it's a combination of the two of them. And I know a lot's been put on Nick Sirianni, and I think people know I've never, not last year, year before, I've never been the biggest Nick Sirianni guy to begin with. Never have been. That's just me. It's just a personal opinion. But, you know, every time they bring in somebody, all I hear is about it is how great Howie Roseman is, and I keep sitting there going, excuse me, part of the problem you have on the team is some of the guys he brought in. I mean, yeah, and some of the guys they drafted. And I think a guy like, for example, a guy like Nolan Smith, I think he's got a shot to be a really good situational pass rusher. Really good. You can see it, the quickness, everything that he has to go with it. But I'm not big on Jalen Carter, and I'm not big on Jordan Davis. Almost sounds wrong to say you're not big on Jordan Davis. That's a different story. But never have been on either guy. But okay, that's fine. I would not. I mean, Carter's off the field problems are. I'm sorry, but that enters into who I want on my team. That's me. It may not be you, but that's me. I've got some issues with a couple things with it.
You know that they talk about the value in getting him at 10 because of that, because he probably would have been one, but I think it's probably, at least through 1 year, proved that maybe he might have, those problems might have, should have dropped him a little further than even 10.
Again, you know, it's not just the drag racing part of it. It's the fact that he left. Like, boy, that bothered me. That bothered me. I mean, these are people he knows. He allegedly cares about the whole thing. He didn't stay. He left. Like, I can't draft a guy that's like that. I can't. That's me. You know, others may have a different opinion, but that, of all the things, that bothered me. He left. I can't draft that guy. But that's, you know, can't do anything about it now. Can't do anything about it now. Interesting story that came up. And I find this fascinating. Gina Auriemma, who is among the elite of the elite in coaching, I guess was... and somebody else related this story to me. I guess he was coaching, like helping coaching out with some AAU basketball, you know, or whatever his son was involved in. And there are people on the team that would rather play six games a week and have one practice, or would go to teams because they just wanted to play games and didn't want to practice. And if that's the case, that tells you there's a big problem with youth sports, in my opinion. Because this is an issue. You can't get better unless you practice. You can't be a better all-around player unless you practice. Games can be fun, right? No question. Games can be fun. No getting around it. But all the stuff that makes you a better player is corrected in practice. And guess what players don't want to do for the most part? Now, let's talk about basketball. What don't they want to do? What do they love to do in basketball? What don't they like to do in basketball?
Shoot and defensive drills.
Yep. They don't want to do defensive drills. It's a pain in the neck, and they want to play offense. And you should see in practices when it gets time to play offense. Oh, you should see the light go on. Right? You should see the light go on. And And that is a big problem, is that if you don't want to work on, okay, because I can stop a practice. I can stop a practice and say, okay, this is what you're doing. It's what you're not doing. You only get X amount of timeouts in a game, and you can't correct stuff that the guys aren't working on. I mean, that is, I mean, to me, that is, when I heard that, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Right? Remember the old joke about name the only person that can keep Michael Jordan under 20 points a game?
I do.
Right? Dean Smith, right? Why is that? Because Dean Smith made him play team basketball. He made him play team basketball. So let's think about Michael Jordan in his career in the NBA. Number one, Michael Jordan was a superior defender. 8-time all-defensive player, the whole deal. He wasn't a good defensive player. He's a great defensive player. Just like I think LeBron James is a great defensive player. Michael Jordan was an exemplary defensive player. Now let's think of two of the great moments in Michael Jordan's career. The pass he makes to John Paxson to win the championship. The pass he makes to Steve Kerr to win the championship. Remember, he got criticized for it. He won't take the big shot. Remember that? Remember that. I mean, are you kidding me? The guy plays great team basketball because he was brought up on team basketball. He's got a better shot at it than I do. Really? He's one of the greatest, if not, you know, you can argue the greatest player of all time, but he's absolutely one of the greatest of all time. And he was a great offensive player, a great scorer, a great shooter, a great defender, and a great passer. Now, where do you think he got his defensive fundamentals? Practice. Where do you think he got his passing fundamentals and his ability to see the whole court? Practice. Okay. I always go back to, and I've been fortunate in my career to know people who have worked with the greats. So I know Bill O'Brien. I talked to him about Tom Brady. I know Jim Caldwell. Okay? I've known Jim since the 80s. I've known Jim. I talked to him about Peyton Manning. And and you know what each one of them told me? Was how badly each one wanted to be coached. They wanted to be coached. Right? Bill O'Brien with Tom Brady. I mean, Brady wanted to be coached and coached hard. He wanted to know every mistake. He wanted to know every single nuance as to what was going on. That's from Bill O'Brien. That's not me observing Brady. I've only been around Tom Brady once in my life. Peyton Manning. You know, I was talking to Jim in Indianapolis one day a few years ago. And I said, geez, Jim, you've done wonders with the Manning guy. And he laughed. I said, Jim, you're around him every day. I said, how much do you need to push him? How much does he need to be pushed? And he understood where I was going. He says, Steve, he wants to know everything. He has a theater in his own home. He wants me to come over and take a look at this play, that play. What was he doing wrong? And you know what? When you hear Peyton Manning talk, have you ever heard Peyton Manning use the first name of a coach? No. It's always Coach Caldwell, Coach Dungy, Coach Cutcliffe. He always refers to his coaches as coach. The best ones out there, Jordan, Manning, Brady, Crosby, right? All want to be coached and coached hard. And that's what separates them from the guy that doesn't want to go out there and work on the stuff that make a difference. I'd rather play. I don't want to practice. It's incredible. Right? And Gino Auriemma is right. Life is not a highlight film. It's not. And you've got to work at it every day, whether you're a player or you're not. You got to work at it every day. Right? And that's what he was talking about. Well, I'd rather go to an AAU team that just plays games and not practice. Like, you're not going anywhere. You have to make all the corrections in practice. I can stop a practice, and I can tell the corner, look, okay, you have to line up this way if you want to use the sideline because there's no help in the middle. You have to line up this way because your help is in the middle. Little things like that, subtle, okay? Little things like that. Right? But I can stop the practice to tell you that. In the game, I can't stop you from doing that. And that is something that he was talking about and was emphasizing over and over again. He says he was shocked. The guys, men, women, they just want to play the games. And the problem you have with AAU is simple. It does a great job of showcasing everybody all together. So you can do, quote, one-stop shopping when looking at personnel. But everybody's trying to impress themselves. They aren't trying to win the game for their team. They're trying to win the moment so they can go out and they can get a scholarship. Okay? And I think it's a problem. And you're around youth sports all the time.
I was going to say, what's left of it? Yeah. I mean, AYSO is losing members because of travel teams. I mean, Little League's essentially dead in this area above 12 years old because of travel teams. Legion's almost gone around here because of travel teams. It's way more than the time that we have left in this show, but it is a major problem, and you might not see the results of it now, but you're going to see it in the style and the amount of mistakes people make over, even in high school now. It's amazing. One of the things that you don't get is knowledge of the game, you know,
in
the least.
And Gino Auriemma said, quote, they haven't figured out which foot to use as a pivot foot, and they're going to act like they're really good players. So forget about playing for the love of the game or to support teammates. Too many players are focused on themselves. He said they're allowed to get away with just whatever, and they're always thinking about themselves. Me, 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 me. I didn't score, so why should I be happy? I'm not getting enough minutes. Why should I be happy? That's the world we live in today, unfortunately. He says kids check the scoreboard sometimes because they're going to get yelled at by their parents if they don't score enough points. He said, don't get me started. And he's right. He's right. Now, not everybody's like that. But the greats of all time, some of the all-time greats, what do they all have in common? They all desired to be coached. Okay? Michael Jordan wanted Phil Jackson to coach him hard. And I've talked to Doug Collins, because Doug Collins coached Michael with the Bulls and with Washington. Doug told me the same thing. He says, Steve, he says, you couldn't coach him hard enough. He wanted more all the time. And then he would hold other players accountable because he didn't think they were working hard enough. Okay. Well, who's doing that now? Who?
I'm shaking my head no.
All
nobody.
Right. All right. Like, what made them great is that they looked for the wisdom of others. All right. Wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.